In from media land and technology land, those that have Facebook faith and internet intercession, those that have faithful fellowship wherever you are, we thank God for your presence, we thank God for your peace, and we thank God for your providential purpose in Christ Jesus. Wherever you are, I just feel the need to give God some mighty, matchless praise. And it's our typical tradition and our consecrated custom here at Tabernacle. I invite you to let's lift up God and let's give him praise just for being God, for he is in control. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is your time. It is not ours. In fact, Lord, no time is ours. All time belongs to you. But what you do, Lord, in the words of Calvin, you accommodate yourself to us that through history we may testify about your transcendent truth. That's why your word says that we ought to, Lord, help us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us now, Lord, that every moment is precious. Every time that we have to breathe is great. That we ought to treasure every moment, Lord, because in terms of the signs of the times, we know that not everybody is able to see today. So because you have given us this day, how dare we not make this day yours in our hearts, in our heads, and in our hands. So we lift up holy hands and we thank you, Lord, for bringing us close to you and for calling us for this day and time. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, who brings all things to remembrance, we say amen, amen, and amen. It goes without saying that I miss many of you. Many of you I've spoken to on the phone or we've sent texts, emails, but I do miss seeing you in the flesh, but we do know in God's time we will see each other again. Beloved, today on this Palm Sunday, we direct your attention to New Testament territory. In particular, we invite you to the Gospel according to Luke. To one of the synoptics. We bring you to Luke chapter 19, and what we're going to do is look at Luke's retelling of the events around Palm Sunday. We're going to say retelling because the first telling is of the Holy Spirit, and the second telling is of the biblical writer. The Holy Spirit downloads the truth into the biblical writer, and the biblical writer, through the personality that God has given him, the gifts and the talents, he now codifies it for the scripture. And so we thank God for Luke the physician today, for he is writing in his own style, but he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, beloved, all of those that can, even in your homes, wherever you are, if you can take a moment, we invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Though we may not be here, we still want to honor God. Amen? So we find ourselves in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. We are going to be reading from 28 through the 40th verse, amen, 28 through and including verse 40. It says this: after telling this story, Jesus went on toward the town of Bethphage and Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them, as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Verse 31, if anyone asks you, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. Beloved, the Lord needs it. Whatever you got, the Lord needs it. He needs my head, he needs my heart, and he needs my hand. So they went out and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. Can you all say in your homes, wherever you are, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. Verse 35. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Please leave your Bibles open to verses 41 and 42, because we see that not everybody was happy because the Pharisees began to complain. But beloved, what I want to do today, I want to engage you in this teaching message from the simple thought of scent. For your notes, scent, S-E-N-T. S, you want during this season to make sure that you are supernaturally selected. E, you want to make sure that you are eternally experienced. N, you want to make sure that you neutralize the negative. And T, you want to make sure that you are a tracker of the truth. Again, for our teaching purposes, you want to make sure that when you are sent, that you are supernaturally selected. E, you want to make sure that you are eternally experienced. N, you want to make sure that you neutralize the negative. And T, you want to make sure that you are a tracker of the truth. So here we go now. This is Jesus' setup, because Jesus does nothing by accident. Jesus does nothing by mistake. And when you are walking with God and you listen to God, know that God already has a plan that will honor you, bless you, and grace you in the process. So in order for you to live a life of triumph, a life of blessedness, and a life of covenant keeping, the first thing you must do when you know that you are sent is you must know that you are supernaturally selected. You did not choose yourself as a Christian. God chose you. He did not choose you because you are so good. He chose you because he is so good to us. The Bible says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Bible says in the book of John that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. When God chooses us, he does not choose us like man. I love to play soccer and I love to play basketball. And when I go out and I choose my team based on what I think they can do for me on the field of play or on the court of basketball. God does not choose that way. God chooses us because God knows our past, God knows our present, and God knows our future. God chooses us because we only know some of our past and some of our present. But God knows all of our past, all of our present, and all of our future. And because we were chosen in Christ, we are on earth to do God's bidding. We are on errand. We are on commission. We have a job to do. And nothing that happens to us is an accident to God. Nothing that happens to us astonishes God. Nothing that happens to us can ambush God. So when we encounter times and places not of our own choosing, we need to ask God, what are we supposed to do with the stage that you've given us now? It may be confusing to us, but it's not confusing to God. That's why the Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They were supernaturally selected, and beloved, this was a strange errand, because the Bible says that Jesus took them up the Mount of Olives. Jesus took them up the Mount of Olives. But then when he got to the apex of the mountain, he told two of the disciples to go back down. Well, it's very interesting. He was traveling from the north to the south. When he got outside of Jerusalem, he climbed the Mount of Olives. When he climbed the Mount of Olives, he asked two disciples to go back down and then go to a village to bring a donkey. I have a question. Why did Jesus have to go up the mountain just to send two disciples down the mountain
just to go and get a donkey in the village to bring him back to the mountain so that Jesus can now ride the donkey back to the mountain. And I've come by to let you know that in prayer, the Lord showed me that when you are supernaturally selected, God will first of all give you a higher vantage point for you to see what God wants you to do before God sends you on the errand. Help me, Holy Ghost. I like the fact that God's ways are not my ways, and God's ways are not your ways, and God has a plan that we cannot see. And when God takes us up before he takes us down, it means that God doesn't want us just to achieve something. God wants us to have joy along the journey. How many of you, God sent you to get something or to do something, and you learn more on the way in getting it? You learn more in the process of doing it. You learn more through the education, through your 4 years of high school, maybe through your 4 years of college, while you were on the job, while you were studying, than the day that you graduated. I don't know about you, but I've learned to accept that there are some lessons that you learn along life's highway that if God microwaved your blessing and gave it to you too early, you wouldn't be able to experience and appreciate God or yourself. So I give God some praise that God likes to take his time, because God is in, time is in God's hands. And Lord, thank you for taking me along the long way sometimes, because if you took me around the short way, I wouldn't experience some of the love, I wouldn't know some things about myself. So thank you, Lord, that I'm supernaturally selected and we work on your time. But not only were they supernaturally selected, something else is going on. They had to experience the eternal. What I mean by that is that when God asks you to do something, I'm going somewhere with this, God will put the spirit of that thing in you that will drive you to accomplish that assignment, to fulfill that task, to get to that promised land before you get there. That God works on the spiritual level. That's why he is looking for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So before God gives you the book, God will give you the spirit to write the book. Before God tells you to blog about evangelism, God will download you the spirit about evangelism. Before the Lord tells you to start that business, God will give you the spirit of that business. Before God used Joseph, God gave him the spirit of what was going to happen in a dream. And sometimes when God gives you the spirit of something, you don't have the capacity to handle it. So God has to put you through training. God has to put you through a school of obedience. God has to take you through some stuff in order that you will be able to handle the blessing God has given you. Even Jesus, the Bible says, learned obedience by the things he suffered. And if God on earth can learn obedience by the thing he suffered, who am I not to understand that God may take me through some stuff. God may chastise me and discipline me, and God may put me down to stand me up. Is there anybody here that believes in the power of the word when the Bible said God chastises those who he loves? And I'm wondering right now, if God is chastising the nations of this world, God is chastising the churches of this world, God is chastising the pastors, the preachers, the deacons, the trustees, the parents of this world, God is chastising us. But when God chastises us, he only chastises us because he got a greater plan. Give God some mighty praise. Don't you know that in Matthew 16, he said, Peter, what do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. He says, that did not come from you. Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you. You've been snooping around God. You've been eavesdropping on the covenant. You've been working with God. And God the Father downloaded it into Peter's spirit before Jesus asked him the question. And said, thou art the Christ. Help me, Holy Ghost, Son of the living God. But not only that, Jesus used that occasion to launch Peter, switchblade carrying Peter, mealy mouth Peter, body stinking like fish and seaweed Peter. God used that occasion to launch Peter into something that nobody else on earth has experienced. He said, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And Peter was still going to make some mistakes. But right there, Jesus took the relay from God, downloaded it into Peter. And Peter now, even though he is not fully sanctified, begins to get his marching orders to be the first leader of the Christian Church of God. I'm so glad that God will give us some stuff before we experience it, so we can take some time to nurse it and nourish it and nurture it in our spirits. And though we may be facing some hard times, what God told you in the secret will never be able to be opposed, regardless of what comes against you. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I've come by to tell you that I don't know what's going to happen to everybody, but I do know that the church of Jesus Christ, our roots are in eternity, and nothing can happen for those that are in God. For God, there is no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. What shall separate us from the love of God? Give God some matter of praise. We are going to come out of this because he's given us the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Give God some matter of praise. We're going to use the keys: prayer, praise, proclamation, stewardship, worship, scholarship. We're going to love each other, and we're going to overcome in this season. Well, I got to be careful here. I got to be careful here, beloved, because yes, you are supernaturally selected, and yes, you experience the eternal, but if that's the case, know this for sure. Young people, know this for sure. Married people, know this for sure. Saints, know this for sure. The negative is coming your way. What do you mean by that? It was their obedience to God that brought out the attack of the devil. They went and got the donkey. They asked, why are you untying it? They said, the Lord has need for it. In other words, if it's in the Lord's hand, it can do better than if it's in your hands or my hands. The Lord has need for it. This time in the life of our communities, our cities, and our countries, it's for us to ask, what have we been withholding from God? You know, the interesting thing about Job is Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's very interesting that this is not the first time the people of God will suffer attack. The Bible is a long checkered record of God's chosen suffering under persecution, attack, famine, and spiritual warfare. But God will create the conditions. He will allow the predicament of our pain. He will allow the situation to open up in order for him to show us the power of his revelation. Notice in that text of Job that Job never called the name of the devil. He never rehearsed how the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans came to attack his family and his livestock. He never took the time to give the devil and the satanic any play in his mind. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, we may think the devil is at work, But Job said, it's not the devil. Even though the devil was there, I'm not going to use my time. I'm not going to use my homeboundness. I'm not going to use this season. I'm not going to use Palm Sunday to give the devil any credit. I'm going to say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If it's not in my hands, that's one thing. But it's also not in the devil's hands. I've come by to tell you that a golf ball in my hands is nothing, but a golf ball in Tiger Woods' hands is $500 million. A basketball in my hands is $27, but a basketball, amen, in Magic's hands or in Kobe's hands, bless it, in his family's hands or in LeBron's hand is $600 million. I've come by to tell you that you in my hands is nothing. You under COVID is nothing. You under the attack is nothing. But when we put our lives in the hands of God, God will work everything out for his own glory. Give God some mighty praise. So they're praising him. I said they're praising him. What the disciples did, y'all. They did. Help me, y'all. Help me, Minister EJ. Help me, Brother Kurt. Help me, Sister Michelle. They took their coats. And they put their coats over the donkey, Sister Gigi, but under Jesus. Oh! The people took their coats and palm trees and put it on the ground. But watch what happened. They followed what the church did. The Christ sets the tone. The church follows the Christ. And the crowd, the community, and the city follows the church. Notice now, they put their coats over the donkey. You gotta give Jesus something to sit on. In other words, don't just allow Jesus to sit on the donkey. If Jesus sits on the donkey, Jesus is blessing the donkey. Use this opportunity to add your blessing. So when God decides to move, God is moving with you and yours in the midst of this. But there's something else going on. And I feel the spirit of prophecy over me. For those of you who are listening to me for the first time, rarely have I used my pulpit to critique other ministries. Rarely do I put them in my view, because we know that all of us are beggars trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. But it is important, according to this text, that the church take charge of leading the country. It should not be, my brothers and my sisters, the few of you who are still doing it, to violate the rules of social distancing. We know it's not a law. We know for some it's a recommendation. We know for others it's a precept. We know for others it's a stipulation. But let's not violate the covenant relationship that we have with God by playing cheap with the gospel and asking people to come in hundreds and thousands to the church of God. Why? Because sometimes somebody can go to church and catch something that they didn't have before they walked in church. It is our job as shepherds to protect the flock and the community of God. Yes, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost prayers, Holy Ghost preaching, Holy Ghost policy, Holy Ghost program. I am a man of God. I'm dyed in the wool. I'm sanctified. But I've come by to tell you, don't cheapen the Holy Ghost. Don't do what Bonhoeffer said. Don't do cheap grace. If we were so great as the church,
If we were so great as the church, we wouldn't have to wait till COVID came. And I say this with all brokenness and humility. Before we ask people to come together, if we were as prayed up as we should have been, we should have stopped it when it first reared its head in China. We should have stopped it at the borders. We should have stopped it at the airport. We should have stopped it. But church, if we really were so sanctified. I say this because I come with Nehemiah and say, Lord, forgive us of our sins and those of our fathers. Forgive the church and the church leaders for not doing what they should have been doing. Forgive the parents. Forgive the churches, Lord. If we were so great, we could have stopped. Don't act great now. It's not the time to act bad. It's the time to cover yourself with sackcloth and ask the Lord to renew in you a new spirit. God didn't say, just the Holy Spirit does not give you permission not to use your head. Because I read over there in Paul, he said, I pray in the spirit. I also pray with my understanding. I sing in the spirit. I also sing with my understanding. Paul said over and over again in 1 Thessalonians and Corinthians, he said, I will not have you stupid. Jesus said, love the Lord with all your mind, your heart, all your soul, your mind, and your mind. That we got to renew our minds in God. That we have an obligation to use our minds to study the sciences and the social sciences. We have to use our minds. We worship God with our Lord, forgive us for endangering people because we don't know how the Holy Spirit works. I move to my close here. You got to neutralize the negative. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. The Pharisees were upset because Jesus was riding on the donkey. I need you to put on your Bible glasses now. We're going to try to close this. The T of it is you have to be a tracker of transcendent truth. You see, the people that were worshiping Jesus because Jesus sees the Jewish holiday as a day to come into the village, to come into Jerusalem. Scholars say, according to Josephus, that on that day in Jerusalem, there were about 2.5 million people there, all coming for the Jewish season of Passover. So Jesus seized the day where people from all over the diaspora and the countryside would pour into Jerusalem. Jesus seized that day for the first time in his public ministry to ride in as king. Up to that, every time Jesus came on the scene and they wanted to lift him up, he would say, tell the demons, be quiet. He would tell them, it's not time. But on today, Jesus wanted to show who he was. But Jesus did not ride in on a horse because a horse represented militaristic campaign and warfare. He rode in on a donkey because the kings rode it on a donkey when they wanted to bring peace to the city. Look at the scene. Because the church is following Jesus, the crowd is moving, following the church, following the Christ to take over Jerusalem. I wish I was there. The only people that got mad were the Pharisees, because the Pharisees knew what the Old Testament said when he said, behold, your king will be riding in on a donkey. So the scribes and Pharisees knew but Jesus coming in on this donkey, that he was fulfilling what the scripture says. That's why they got mad. Well, beloved, let me tell you something. The only person that gets mad at your peace is the devil. During this season, my prayer is that you have so much peace because you know how the story ends. Bring peace everywhere you go. And know this, that if God really wants order to make us suffer? All of those numbers that you see on TV, whether you watch CNN, whether you watch Fox, whether you watch MSNBC, whether you watch the local news, whether you're on the internet, whether you're on the web, whether you're on Instagram, God could have done it this way. God could have made us like the Egyptians. Y'all hear me today. And God could have allowed one person from every household to go down, which means now everybody, amen, in the world is now suffering. So when I'm praying right now, Deacon Beasley, I say to people that God could have allowed more of this pestilence to come our way, Brother Henry, and I give God some mighty praise, Sister Crystal, that God has curtailed the evil. Yes, the numbers may rise, but every day you got to thank God for those that are still here. If you got a family, love them. If you got somebody to call, call them. Give God some mighty praise and thank God for every moment you got alive. For he said, I come that you may have life. Isn't it interesting that even with all of this, there's a whole lot of stuff we're not hearing more about? God on Palm Sunday, don't just count what you can't do, young people. I know you can't go to the parks. I know you can't stay out all night. I know you're not in school. I know you're not at work. I know things have changed. I know you feel suffocated socially. I know you feel squeezed. I know you feel tired. I know your rhythms are off. But I close with this. Notice all the stuff we ain't hearing about. Notice that we're not hearing of any more war between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Notice that we're not hearing any more war between the blue states and the red states. Notice that we're not hearing about police brutality and gangsterism and cultural terrorism and extermination. Notice that the war folk and the human sexual trafficking, notice all of those numbers are going down. Notice that drug sales are going down. Notice, beloved, in the name of Jesus, that all of the mayhem that characterized us when we didn't have, notice that God has reduced a lot of that stuff. So don't think that you know what God is doing. His ways are not our ways. And yes, some things may no longer be the same, but you better give God praise for all of the stuff that is not happening. Every time I get on the news, I'm not hearing of another shooting, of another rape, of another kidnapping. I thank God, I give God somebody praise that people are not going to war like they used to. I'm not saying that it's all over with, but I am saying thank God that the numbers are going down, that God has put a boundary, that God has put a bracket, that God has given us a witness, and we that remain must give God praise. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Before you miss your blessing, look at all the gifts and joys and graces God has given you, and look at all the evil he saves you from. Count your blessings one by one, because you have been sent by God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That the psalmist said, we will worship our God, even unto death. That the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Take heart, because God knows how the story ends. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that this is an unusual message. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you let every preacher and every church member in this land know that we have been sent. And know, Lord, that in according to John 17, verse 8, you said, sanctify them with truth. Thy word is truth. So allow us to eat your word, because without your word, we cannot build faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Lord, we cannot eat your word and be complaining at the same time. We cannot eat your word, Lord, and be thankless at the same time. We cannot eat your word, Lord, and only work on the pettiness at the same time. Lord, we know it's hard, but give us your word so we can grow in faith. And with that faith, we can please you. We want you, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
to say that we have been chosen by you. Then finally, Lord, I say thank you, Lord, because we know right now that whatever is happening in New York, Michigan, New Jersey, here in Ohio, where things seem to be ambiguous and complex, you are where you've always been. You are not running around heaven crazed up, that you are sitting in heaven, that you see everything. And when we look to you and we can see that you got it, we may not fully understand it, for you work in mysterious ways. But Lord, you are our peace. You are a very present help in time of trouble. See us through, for we are yours and we are not our own. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray and say amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God some mighty praise, and we will begin to transition now into, by way of song, into our service of Holy Communion. We will have song and just a few announcements, and we'll be ready to go momentarily. Again, let the church say amen, amen, and amen.